We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I think New England will trade up multiple times tonight, meaning at least twice. Why? They've got 12 picks. Belichick, in recent drafts, is looking for specific pieces, and he'll do whatever it takes to get those specific pieces. They had three draft picks last year that would have started but got hurt. People are forgetting about those. They just don't have many spots available. What they need is four impact players to get a little more athletic on both sides of the football. May not move up in the first round, but I think New England will move up multiple times over today, tomorrow, and the weekend.
Wait a minute. He started by talking about them moving up into the first round, and then he ends it up by saying, but maybe not in the first round? Is that what he's doing?
Oh, so, the real discussion is the first round. I think most teams in the NFL move up over the weekend at some point.
Multiple times tonight.
Like every team,
at least twice.
Every team in the NFL, some will move up in the first round. Go back into it, or whatever. But once you get to that third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, I mean, you see, like, the seventh round, you see trades for seventh rounder next year. People always, every team will move up, right? This isn't, like, a big statement, is it?
I'm still not sure I understand what Cowherd is saying. So he starts by giving this this grandiose announcement that the New England Patriots are going to move up. And I think you were right in that there are fans out there, and we'll get back to the phone calls and let you throw your two cents, who would love to see them move up in this draft because there are a couple of tight ends. Matter of fact, we're going to talk with Daniel Graham, Nate, later on in this hour, who knows about tight ends and knows about the New England Patriots moving up in the first round of the draft to get a tight end, mainly him. So there are good tight ends in this draft. I think a lot of people would love to see them move up because they'd like to see the Gronk replacement. So when he started that comment, that's what I thought he was saying. Play this again. Because didn't you get the feeling that he was talking about moving up in the first round?
That's all
that
anybody really cares about.
That's all. And then
nobody cares about moving up in the third and fourth.
And then by the end, he's talking about, maybe not in the first round. What?
I think New England will trade up multiple times tonight, at least twice.
Tonight.
They've got 12
multiple
picks.
Times is
Belichick,
twice, you know that?
In
tonight.
Recent drafts, is looking for specific pieces, and he'll do whatever it takes to get those specific pieces. They had three draft picks last year that would have started but got hurt. People are forgetting about those. They just don't have many spots available. What they need is four impact players to get a little more athletic on both sides of the football. May not move up in the first round, but I think New England will move up multiple times over today, tomorrow, and the weekend.
Well, that's the thing. It's going to be hard for them. It's going to be hard for them to move up multiple times tonight. How many rounds are tonight?
One round is tonight, Blue. Okay. This is how they handle it. Now, one round tonight, then we have two rounds tomorrow, and then the rest of
it. Oh, maybe he'll figure that out.
Finish on set. He hasn't figured it out.
At around 12 o'clock, he's going to go, where's the second round?
This is the problem.
What happened?
This is the problem with this draft
today,
stuff.
Tomorrow, and the weekend.
I thoroughly admit that I've hardly seen most of these players that are going to be mentioned in the draft when the commissioner gets up there, calls their name, and gives them the big hug. But there are a lot of people that they're just making it up. I don't know if you've heard any of Francesa in the last couple of days. He's talking about players. He's never seen the players. You can tell. Oh, he's a good. He's a good passer.
Yeah.
And then he repeats it three times. He can really pass. You know, he's a really good passer. And that's what they're all doing right now. I have no idea who most of these players are, and I think most people out there. But when you're sitting here trying to tell me that you're an insider, you're just doing what most people do today. I'm going to make an outrageous take. There's nothing to support it. I got no evidence, nothing.
Yeah.
But here's my outrageous take. They are going to move up. And he started giving us an outrageous take. Patriots were going to move up several times
tonight.
Last
I checked, tonight's only the first round.
So you know what they were going to do? They were going to take 32 and they were going to move up to like 15. But then they found out that at number 9 is still available. So now they're going to take 15. They're going to take
That's how I took it.
And they're going to move, right, they're going to move up to 9.
Or
move
up at least twice.
Move up to, say, 15. And then get back in the first round again. Is that going to happen?
Right. So I think that's a legitimate question. Does Bill Belichick look at it and say so much of my offense has always run through the tight end position, especially since they acquired Rob Gronkowski. Do I need to replace Rob Gronkowski right now? In a year in which there are three solid tight ends in this league. Christian thinks one of them is much better than the other two, okay? But there are three legitimate tight ends, and maybe four and five have a good shot to be pretty good players as well on the board. And is that, are they going to do that? So I almost get the feeling that that's what he was talking about, because that would be the only reason you're moving up, right? Even though, who knows, maybe he goes for a corner.
Well, we got our trusty little safety. We got a trusty little chart here, right?
We do have our trusty chart, the value chart.
Where a lot of these teams use it.
Yeah, give me the numbers on that.
In other words, New England 32nd pick is valued points at 590. So I just picked Green Bay at 12. That number is 1,200. So you got to accumulate 1,200 to get to 12. And the only way you can get to 12 and move up from 32 to 12, if you add up all the points, it comes out to the Patriots' first-round pick at 32, 56, and 64.
Yep.
So your first three picks, your first-round pick, both of your seconds, to go from 32 to 12. That is 1,200 points.
I just don't see Belichick doing that. I think he looks at the value when he always has. The one thing he's been consistent about is the value in the second, third, and fourth rounds. And I keep on reading here, and again, I'm far from an expert on this, but I keep on reading that there's unbelievable value this year in the second, third, and fourth round. And you're loaded with second, third, and fourth rounders. You've got 56, 64, 73, 97, 101. You've got six picks in the first 2 days, Lou, and in the first 101 picks, you have six of them, more than any team. Why would he suddenly move up? Unless he loves a tight end and he knows that he needs a replacement for Rob Gronkowski.
Well, I think he does. I think he knows that, right? Let me give you the reason why I think Arizona wants to trade Rosen to New England. So, Steve Keim, right? General manager.
Yep.
He had a tough year.
A little DUI problem.
But in February, he signs an extension, right, through 2022. In July, he gets busted for DUI. They find him, they suspended him for 5 weeks and fine him $200,000. So, whatever, get ready for the season, he hires Steve Wilks. You heard the stories, right, that Steve Wilks, did he convince him over a round of golf, right, and that's why he hired him? Anyways, it doesn't work. He fires Steve Wilks. He takes a lot of heat because he fired a black head coach after one season. Right, not exactly the greatest year for Steve Keim, the general manager, correct?
Right.
So he takes a shot with this guy, Cliff Kingsbury. Another questionable move. We'll see how it works. So if I'm Steve Keim, first off, I like my money. I like my job. I would like to keep my job. If I trade Josh Rosen to the New York Giants, and he starts for the New York Giants, and the Giants make the playoffs, meanwhile, I stick with Kingsbury because he loves Kyler Murray, and Murray isn't exactly a great quarterback in year one and struggles in year one. While Josh Rosen is leading the Giants or the Dolphins to a 9-7 record and looks really good, what do you think happens to Steve Keim? Now, if I trade him to New England, because honestly, I care about my job more than I do about Josh Rosen, right? I could send him to New York and start, or I could send him to New England where we could sit behind Tom Brady for the next couple years. I got 2 years to figure it out with Murray. I got a couple years. It buys me some time to figure it out with Kingsbury and Murray. You know, there's no pressure to what Josh Rosen is doing the following year. The guy that I gave up on. Guy I drafted, then gave up on. You know, for Kyler Murray, who's not that good. So I think job security-wise, if I'm Arizona, I'd love to send him to New England. So he could sit there for 2 or 3 years, and I might actually keep my job while Kingsbury and Kyler Murray try to figure it out.
No, it's a fairly logical take,
and maybe give them to him for a cheaper price.
You know, it may be. And I would say this, that a lot of those guys operate that way. What is going to be the reaction? And as you said, if suddenly Rosen takes off and he's a good quarterback somewhere else, you look like a fool if Murray's struggling. A lot of guys are worried about their own reputation, about their own job. That's the one
thing. A guy's reputation is already in trouble.
Yeah. It is. And that's the one thing about Belichick, I think, that you can't find with many of these other so-called GMs, right? Bill doesn't give a rat's ass about any of this stuff. He's not worried about being embarrassed about making a bad pick or whatever. And you know why? Because he's got the best job security in the National Football League. There's nobody whose job is more solid right now than Bill Belichick is. And so he looks at it. He doesn't have to worry about it. But you're right. A guy like that probably is looking
you're
at it and saying,
he does.
I've got to be a little bit careful about this.
How risky is that for this Arizona front office?
I think it's risky.
And head coach, year one.
You drafted two.
Putting everything on Kyler Murray, getting rid of this kid, and sending him somewhere to be a starter. What if he's good?
I think there's a major problem.
You guys all lose your job.
There's a major problem for the Cardinals 2-3 years from now. If Kyler Murray, we find out he's, because of he's undersized, he can't see over the offensive line. With some of the critics are
claiming.
And I get
it. There's a flip side. We destroyed Cleveland Browns for years for passing up, you know, all these quarterbacks. Yeah. No, they finally got Baker Mayfield. Yeah. Meanwhile, they passed in all these quarterbacks, but they actually built the team around
him. Yeah.
But so now they got the quarterback, so now, okay. But for years, we sat there and said, you idiots.
Right. But they look like a fool, and you're right about sitting behind Tom Brady, but they may be looking at it in Arizona saying, we send him up there to New England. And by the way, there are more reporters coming out and claiming this is Evan Silva now. The Giants, Miami, and the Chargers are the teams that are likely to trade for Josh Rosen. It's more likely to happen on Friday. We're starting to see more and more of this. So the Patriots don't seem to be mentioned in any one of them, which doesn't necessarily mean anything.
It means nothing.
But they may look at it. Arizona might look at it and say, oh, my God. Bill Belichick and that Patriot coaching staff, even though they don't have a lot of them signed right now, coaches, they're going to really make him something special, and then we're going to look like a fool. And if he goes and he's the replacement for Tom Brady, we're going to look even dumber.
Yeah, and if that's three years down the road, I've worked for the last 3 years. Yep. I still have my job. Yep. I've collected my money.
Yep. No, I agree. Everybody's already looking to cover their ass. And most of the guys have to in that league cover their ass because they have owners that want to, you know, ship them out. Roger's in a car next up here in EEI. Roger.
Well, hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Roger?
Good. Good. Looking forward. I drive for Lyft, and I just had a passenger in the car that said to look out for this tight end from Iowa, a guy, Noah Fant.
Yes. Yeah. There are two tight ends in Iowa. Yes.
Yeah, I guess the other one, I just looked, T.J. Hawkinson.
He's going to go higher than Fant.
He's going to go apparently.
Higher. But this kid, Fant, I guess, is good size, great speed, and really good hands. So it was just
Who was in the car? Was it Robert?
No.
He wasn't hitting one of those day spots, was it?
Was it like, was his name Evan?
It wasn't Evan.
No,
I think it was Thomas, and he had something to do with the medical staff somewhere. No. But he was just knowledgeable.
Right. Thanks, Roger. I love it.
I think a lot of people talk about Noah Fant.
Yeah. Well, everybody's talking about the one reason that they
and the
would
kid
move
Irv Smith out of Alabama, right?
Junior. Irv Smith Junior. We gotta make sure we get the juniors and the seniors and line them all up. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number here on OMF, the NFL draft. What do you want to see the Patriots do tonight? I know you're probably excited. You think they can move up. You think they can do what Cowherd said, and they're going to make multiple moves, and it's going to... And you know it probably is not going to happen. But what would you want to see?
At least twice.
And what do you really think will happen? 617-779-7937.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Drop it, Buster.
I don't see New England doing that. I don't see that happening. Again, Arizona's going to want a two. Don't see New England giving up a two. I don't think that's where they were on the guy last year, one year ago. Now, could their feelings change 1 year later? Look, I guess that's not something that I see New England pursuing. If he's sitting there and Arizona wanted, I don't know, a sixth or seventh round pick, would New England be interested at that time? Maybe they kick it around. But Arizona's not going to do that. So it's a moot point.
So Arizona won't take like a sixth or seventh pick for Josh Rosen? That's too bad.
One of your second round picks.
Too bad.
There you go. You don't have to give up 32.
He's talking about, but he's sitting there saying, basically, Schefter's saying that New England won't give up a second round pick for Josh Rosen.
Would you?
Value. One of those seconds?
Value.
They have
value.
56, 64.
Value.
No.
Live a little
not unless, not unless I absolutely love
just
them.
For, have some
unless
fun.
I love them.
Will you, Ordway?
Oh, stop it.
Have some fun.
Stop it.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, you and Daniel
well,
Snyder.
Fun?
You and Daniel Snyder win the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, because giving up 56 is a Daniel Snyder move.
Not fun.
I've already got the backup quarterback that is going to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots when Tom Brady is done. I already gave you a year advance notice.
Who is he, a junior in high school, senior in high school?
No, it's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jesus, here we go.
Who is he talking about?
At least you're having fun with it.
Are you talking about?
That's fine.
I tell you what, I have a better chance of my prediction of Jimmy Garoppolo being the replacement for Tom Brady than you do with Josh Rosen becoming the replacement for Tom Brady.
Well, give me 24 hours, 48 hours, and then I'll agree with you. I don't think you're that far off, by the way, when you talk about Jimmy G.
It's going to be getting too much money.
Just, you know, there's no more guaranteed dollars. They move on from 3 or 4 years from now, 3 years from now. And, yeah, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
Especially if Brady can go for 2 more years, because then the Garoppolo money becomes insane.
Jimmy G is a motherfucking star.
Here's Steve in Portsmouth. Well, different scouts have different views of him. Here's Steve in Portsmouth. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Steve.
Happy draft
to you.
Absolutely. So I was just wondering if you guys had any opinions on whether the Patriots were going to do what they do with Trent Brown. Or, you know, Darrelle Revis in the past, where they'll pick up a player, who's a year away from, you know, going into free agency. So he can come here, get coached up, get play well, and then we'll receive a comp pick on the other side.
Yes.
AJ Green?
You guys.
Yes.
So there's a couple of guys that I thought, I'd seen an article about a guy, Eric Armstead from the 49ers. He's a defensive end.
Yep.
He was a first rounder a couple of years ago. I think that he hasn't played much. He's had a lot of injuries. But another guy that people haven't talked about yet, or I haven't read anything about, is Jack Conklin from the Tennessee Titans. He was the eighth pick in the draft in 2016. He's a right tackle. He's gonna be. You don't have to make your decision for the fifth year option until the third. May 3rd. So I think that. That he could be an option,
Steve, you're going to get in the names. You're going to get in the names. That's fine. But overall, the concept, I agree with you 100%.
I do, too.
This is how you got Trent Brown last year. The 49ers drafted a kid, McGlinchey, out of Notre Dame, the big left tackle, which made him expendable. So this is, I can guarantee you right now, Bill's probably got about a dozen players keeping an eye on teams. And, maybe he's looking at a couple of wide receivers. And he's seen the teams maybe in that second round, third round, they're drafting wide receivers and makes the higher paid veteran guy expendable. And at different positions, I'm sure he's doing the exact same thing.
Here's what I think is more likely. He's got 4 picks in the seventh round, 12 picks. He's got 239, 243, 246, 252. Really, there's no difference between them and undrafted guys, right?
Oh,
other than you get an opportunity to take them away from every other team. And when you talk about 12 picks, how is Belichick going to add 12 guys on here? Plus, you've got guys that are coming back that were injured last year.
Well.
They did, and they kept them.
Yeah.
Right? They kept most of them.
That's a great question, Glenn.
It is. Thank you, Bill. And then on top of that, you know that Belichick will end up grabbing a couple of undrafted guys. He always does. He's excellent
at
that.
Maybe the best players in their draft.
Exactly. They will be. All right? So if that's the case, why not take those seventh rounders and maybe deal them off for somebody who's been injured, who's been underachieving in a different system with a different team?
I'm sure he will.
Right. And
now,
because
obviously the biggest hole, right, is tight end. I mean, it's just a mammoth hole.
Yes.
You know, Rob Gronkowski, and I know there's some rumors, Ben Watson, we'll get into that, maybe on retires, who knows, which is why you mentioned it before, we're going to talk to Daniel Graham.
Yeah, we're going to break down one position, because, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, obviously 2002, he was drafted out of Colorado, Christian came over in 2002 as well, so he's actually on the board for the John Mackey Award. So, and he votes for the best tight end in college football.
Yes,
so he knows tight ends. He knows the guys in this draft. We know of a few of them. He'll be able to break down, if it's not, the top two, top three, what guys that the Patriots might be interested. So we'll talk to him at the top of the hour.
It's the one position that we'll look at, only because if the Patriots are going to move up, or as Cowherd says, they're going to move up multiple times tonight in that first round. But if they're going to move up, our guess is they're moving up for a tight end. Whether it's Hawkinson, whether it's Fant, Irv Smith Jr., whatever. That's where they're going to move up. And Daniel Graham actually was that player. The year he came out in the draft, Bill did exactly that.
It was the biggest jump Bill's made.
It was.
So
the biggest jump he's made.
He went from 32 to 21 to draft Daniel Graham.
Yep.
And he gave up 32, a third, and a seventh. So that 11 spots. I mean, a lot of people remember, in 2012, was it when He moved up six spots for Chandler Jones, six spots for Dante Hightower right after that. But he moved up 11 spots for Daniel Graham with the third and the fifth and the seventh.
So he's the perfect guy because he knows what Belichick requires, what he needs in a tight end. He also votes, as Lou said, for the best tight end in college football.
And he knows
these guys inside and out. So he's the best source we could come up with. Let's go to Joe. Joe's in a car next up. Hi, Joe.
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, Joe.
So what I want them to do, and what I think they're going to do, obviously, very different things. I honestly think that what they are going to do is just pick their players according to their draft picks, maybe trade off and get a veteran player. But what I would like them to do, all right, is I would like them to package some, you were just talking about it, but package some of the smaller stuff, get maybe another mid-round pick with some veteran players that they can possibly pick up. And in addition to that, and I'm going to preface what I'm saying is, a lot of New England football fans are a little bit greedy considering all the success we have. I think that they should trade out the first round for a first round draft pick 2 years from now. Because I personally don't really like the quarterback draft class.
So you want Lawrence and Clemson 2 years from now. That's what you're looking at, right?
No, not necessarily him. But I don't really like the draft class that I'm aware of. Obviously, I don't know all of or most of, for that matter, the college quarterbacks. But Tua and the other two that I'm really familiar with, I'm not really big fans of them. I don't really think that they're very good quarterbacks. I think that they're maybe good college quarterbacks. I don't like them myself. But that's what I would like them to do. Get prepared 2 years from now when Brady is actually
getting ready to go. I'm with you, Joe. I'm with you. I would move down from that pick at 32. And I would try to see if I could do something with some of those other picks for next year and then kind of move it forward. Move it forward because right now I don't necessarily need that quarterback. Now, if there's a quarterback that you look at that you can say we could pick up in the third, late in the third, we could pick it up in the fourth. You got that late compensatory. You got two late compensatory picks in the third or the fourth. And as a guy that you can sit there and say, well, you know, maybe he could be pretty good. Well, you know, let's bring him in. I get that. You can do that. The way they did with Brissett, the way they did, you know, the Garoppolo, they drafted a little bit higher than that. I'm not sure at the time they thought either one of those kids were going to be the answer, right? They've done Ryan Mallett. They've drafted all these guys. Do you think that any one of them they looked at and said, oh, that's it. That's our replacement for Brady. I don't think it works that way. You bring a guy in, but I don't think they're going to give up a high asset to do that right now, knowing that that guy's not going to play for the next couple of years. And they need some talent. They need some bodies, don't they?
Well, if you're talking about a second-round pick, is that really a high asset?
Yes. I think it is a high asset.
Drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, second-round pick.
Right. That's a high asset.
Yeah, but how about the value of a top-10 quarterback or a 10th quarterback?
Yeah, and they've also proven that they can trade that guy away even when that guy doesn't get much playing time. Yeah. We've seen it. They trade away Brissett as well.
I mean, okay? Honestly, if they you know, used a second-round pick on this guy, Rosen, and, I mean, just preseason games and being around Brady and being around New England, they could probably build this value back up even without playing. Because right now his value is nothing.
Well, and if his value was nothing, why are you giving up a 32nd pick overall in the draft? I'm not giving up that first-round draft pick for Josh Rosen.
You don't have to.
I'm sorry. And granted, 13 games, you can't tell an awful lot. Team absolutely sucked. But I'm not sure I'm giving up 32. I'm not sure I'm giving up 56 or 64.
Yeah, sure.
56, 64.
I'm not giving them up.
Second-round pick.
By the way, we got you call it. I know Fourier's
not here
today.
Yeah, you won anyway.
I did win that one.
You won anyway. And by the way, I'm pissed that I did not win this one.
Because you like this one?
Not only did I like this one, but I actually worked at this one.
He's got notes. He's got reams of paper and numbers and
statistics,
Lou. I kind of like mine.
I wanted more me time. But everybody needs more me
but
time.
But I do know why mine didn't win. Because
conspiracy. Because they don't like you? People don't like you?
No. It was all about Twitter. And I was going to rip apart Twitter. But I'm not ripping apart Twitter.
You're shadow banned.
No, the Pew Research Group is ripping apart Twitter. And they're right about it. So I might bitch, even though you're going to get the opportunity.
Yeah, we'll do it quick.
To throw yours out there.
Breaking new rules.
That's right. I'm going to break the rule. And then we're going to get to more phone calls. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for You Call It Thursday.
Are you serious?
One topic voted on and chosen by you, the audience.
That scares the hell out of them.
OMF. For the people, by the people.
I give ourselves a 10.
Now, You Call It Thursday on WEEI.
I'm pissed at this one. I'm really pissed at this one because this one I actually worked at. The others I purposely was trying to lose so that these guys could win. This
that's
one,
what losers say.
No, this one I really attempted to win, and I'm really pissed off because I got smoked on this.
You still got third.
I still got third on this one. So what were the three choices there, Ryan? Give us the three choices. Christian's was what?
Christian was very, very passionate about the Luke Walton case.
Yeah, that was
the accuser speaking out.
That's stupid.
Let's talk about that.
Twitter's a bunch of BS.
Yes.
Yeah. But those were not the topics that won. Lou, I believe this is your first time winning, you call it, and Lou wants to talk about...
I think I might have won it before. I'm not so sure.
No.
But
no, you've
was,
never won it before.
Not having
Stop
enough...
It. You've never won.
I saw this article.
Oh, I win it all the time.
It said that Americans aren't getting enough me time.
What do you mean, me time?
Like, you're just alone time. Just quiet. And it's important to clear your mind. And I figured it out, too, because at one point they said, you know, if you don't have enough me time, then it affects your mood negatively. So... I'm not getting enough me time. And the Red Sox might be pissing me off. I don't know what it is. But
it's
see,
not your money. What
so,
do you care?
Yeah, so my stepdaughter and her husband, you know, they're in the house. Yep. You know, he plays hockey. So, you know, it's the off season.
Professional hockey player.
Yeah, so he's so that's my hockey knowledge. So it's the off season, and they have a beautiful my beautiful little granddaughter's here too. She's a year old. As you know, I got a second dog.
Yep.
Who broke his leg.
Wait, you got a second dog?
Yeah, so I had another dog.
$10,000.
George.
Yeah. Very expensive.
My Frenchie. Broke his leg. Broke his leg. So it's that's not going so well. We got to keep an eye on him. The baby's running around the house. I got a 9-year-old, you know, running around the house.
So where do you sleep at night?
Well, this is the whole problem. So this is what I saw this article. It says the average American only gets five hours of me time a week, 43 minutes a day. And it's just not enough. You know, you need it for, they call it ideal headspace. You know, you need this. So apparently so they had some of the locations where you can get me time, favorite me time spots. Bedroom, 51%. Backyard, 31%. Coffee shop, 21%. You know what my me time is?
What?
The crapper. You got anyone in on that one? Yeah, like you sit in the bathroom sometimes? You go and just stand there for like 15, 20
I
minutes
go when
sitting
I,
on the crapper because you're looking
Are you one
phone,
of those,
just
are you one
sort
of those people that keep like a book in
No. It's just in there. It's quiet. It's nice.
No, I go
off the pot here.
Exactly. That's what I do. I go and I get off the pot.
Yeah,
I get out
Hemorrhoids doing that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I think I get more than 43 minutes, though, because the ride, the commute at times,
but,
that's kind of...
Yeah, but half
but
the
that's
time,
stressful.
Like, we were just talking about this during the break. For some reason, the traffic's been awful the last couple nights. That's miserable to me. I don't enjoy that. That might be me time, but, you know, who am I sharing it with?
No, so you need... Everybody needs me time, right? I mean, just to kind of clear your mind.
Like, yeah, I'm good
when,
with
when
me
do you
time.
Have your
I think,
me time?
I don't
is
think
it,
I
is
have...
it the commute? Is it, you know, do you go out and golf? Because sometimes guys will go out and golf, and it's like you just... It's almost like you're golfing with guilt because you know you're doing something wrong away from your family for like 5-6
well,
hours.
Do you have like
so
an
really
office at home or something like that where you can go and get away?
No, I don't know, like the doors to it. It's open. So I hear the dog barking and someone yelling at the dog because he's going after the kid. And the kid's over there and he's grabbing his food and he's messing with his cage and things are yelling and people are screaming. Dog barks because someone walked by the house.
Sounds like an office to me.
You know,
sounds like the kitchen. No, you got to get away. You got to get a place where you get away, a room where you get away. I have rooms where I can get away. Yes, I get away in my man cave.
Glenn has whole wings where he can get away.
I get
but
away.
The point is, it's not like, hey, listen, you know, I've been away, you know, whatever, and I'm just going to, now that I'm home, I need my me time. I need to get away. It's like, really?
Yeah, but you need
away. You need help with dinner?
No.
You're going to help with the kids' homework? What are you going to do? The dog's running around, needs to go out? Can you take him for a walk?
Right
it's
now, very selfish of you.
I think right now you need the son-in-law for hockey knowledge. He could be a big asset.
He helped me out.
He can help you out. Yeah.
He played with a couple of these kids on. He played with a couple of them on Columbus.
Right. So you, I think it's right. If you don't think you're getting enough me time, you have to find a way of being able to do it.
Yeah, it's up to me now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's walking.
So
the
how
dog.
Many people do you think have the?
There's your cut salary.
Same affliction that you have.
I think a lot of people out there would like some more me time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want more me time?
No, I think I'm doing well with me time. I'm fine with me time.
You should
I like,
soundproof your office.
I like to be around. That's a good idea.
Put a door on.
You don't have a lot of stuff going. Put a door in my office. I got two other grown-ups, a child, two dogs, another child. Like, what do you mean?
It sounds like you're giving us reasons to not start a family.
Huh?
It sounds like you're giving us reasons to not start a family.
No, it is great most of the time. It's just, you know, there's some quality.
Most of the time. You notice he said that most of the time.
Yeah.
Hey, honey.
Who's
most of the time, honey?
That's why I spend, that's why I go in the bathroom. I was like, why are you in there for like 20 minutes? I'm like, because it's my me time.
Are you a guy that brings your cell phone into the bathroom?
Yes, absolutely. So you check things, right?
Can't do that either.
No.
just in and out.
Sitting in the crapper on my phone, and I just sit there about 15, 20 minutes.
Stop it.
That's the best time to look at Twitter.
All right,
I'm still pissed off that mine didn't win, because this new Pew Research Center says that only 22% of the population is on Twitter. And does that surprise you? Thought more adults would be on Twitter than that?
Well, Twitter's been around long enough that it's kind of getting phased out. Like, MySpace is sort of a thing of the past, and Facebook isn't as big as it used to be. Twitter's time might be coming.
No, that's not what they're saying. They're saying more people are on it now than ever before, but it still is only 22%. But here's the worst part. There are only 10% of the people that are actually active. 90% of the people that are on Twitter don't do anything.
I think it was isn't the number like 80% of the stuff on Twitter only comes from 10% of the people?
10% of the Twitter followers are responsible for 80%
of the content.
Of the content.
36% of the time, 95%.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So those among the 90% of users have a median of 19 followers and follow 74 accounts. So that means the overwhelming majority of what you see on Twitter is about 2%. 2% of the hyper-engaged population arguing with each other. And then it goes into detail that most of them are all just pissed off.
So what does that tell you?
Losers! That's what it is. It tells you it's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time in that the small minority of people that are tweeting a ton.
It's news.
Yeah, but it also...
It's news. Ian Rappaport's not on Facebook.
Right.
Adam Schefter's not on Facebook, right? I'm just saying, it's news, you know? I mean, baseball reporters, football reporters, all these guys, it's newsworthy.
We get stuff out of it, but what they're basically saying, what the research is saying, is that it is not representative of the American population. Matter of fact, it goes into, political, and of course, they lean way to the left, and it goes on and on and on about it's just not representative of America. So anything you read on there, and the media, unfortunately, buys into a lot of stuff that's on Twitter, and it's just not true. That's not where America's leaning.
So my question for you guys is, if you
get a false sense of where everybody is out there in the country.
If you didn't need it for your job, would you be on Twitter?
No. Would
I
not.
I think everybody in this would building not. Would say the same thing.
Yeah, would not.
No, not at all. For example, if you didn't have Twitter, you wouldn't have this tweet from Chris Mortensen.
Ooh.
A lot of smoke screens, as always, but I can 100% report that we have not been instructed to avoid disclosure of the number one pick. Then we're not going to tip picks during the draft, but as for the number one choice, we can report it if we get confirmed confirmation. Now, again, that's Chris Mortensen.
He's breaking news. So you know what that's
11 of 12 footballs still have been reported. No, that wasn't part of it.
That was a different tweet.
So they're saying that they can if they get it.
Yeah, but they're also sticking it to Mike Florio, who works for NBC, because Florio tweeted out, per source, NFL Network and ESPN reporters have been instructed not to report overall pick.
I mean, it's tricky, right? Because if you're Schefter or if you're Ian Rappaport, those are the two big guys for both those organizations.
Yeah.
You have that they're going to make this trade. You have that taking Kyler Murray. You're not allowed to report on it. Jay Glazer comes in and reports it first. Now what? Your boss is like, why don't you have it? I did have it. You won't let me send it out. Why are we giving it to Glazer? Everyone's has it. People have it. And you're not letting me report it.
See,
I think if they have it, they'll report it.
That's the problem with partnerships. You know? If you're working this partnership deal and you're trying to protect the source, so if your boss tells you, if I'm an ESPN reporter, are you going to admit to the public if your boss comes to you and says, hey, listen, I got a real predicament here. You're a great reporter. And you're going to nail this, but here's the problem. I got Goodell and all of they're all over my ass.
So you sit back and you let Yahoo and you let Fox and you let everybody else break it while you look incompetent?
No, I go out there and do it, and I probably risk getting fired. Right? If you're a good reporter,
it's kind of tricky.
If you're a good reporter, you sit there and say, screw it. But if you have your boss leaning on you, it's never happened to us before. Our boss has said, hey, can you be a little careful about this?
This is a big one. Like you said, nobody knows, you know, if Kyler Murray, last year, remember, it was Baker Mayfield. It was very obvious that at one point they was going to go. Nobody knows if Kyler Murray's going one. Nobody knows if Josh Rosen's going to make it. They're going to make a trade.
I don't understand
that. So it's a big topic. If you're Adam Schefter and your boss says, I have it, but you can't report it, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, but
I'm going to let somebody else break it. I look like an idiot.
Yeah, but you've seen these things play off over the years. You tell me. Do you really believe that there are people out there that don't know what Arizona is going to do? How is it that Schefter, all these different people, are constantly breaking this stuff through agents on a regular basis? And now suddenly, when we've got the number one pick in the draft, when can you ever remember a draft where you don't know what the number one pick is going to be. In any draft, NBA, NHL, any draft, baseball, any of them, Lou, you always know what the number one pick is.
No, I
agree.
This
is a game being
played. That's why I think you're going to find out. And if it's not Schefter and it's not Ian Rapoport, you know they were muzzled.
Yeah, but
because you know they're finding out.
But I think there is something to this, that the executives at the NFL Network and ESPN are being pressured by the NFL. And here's what they're doing. They're sitting there going, hey, guys, you want to get big ratings? Listen, we got this unbelievable program tonight. We got all these great country artists, you know? Tim McGraw's going to play. We got all these unbelievable stars out of Nashville tonight, right? And we can't blow it. We need to have that massive audience at 8 o'clock. I'll guarantee you that's happened. Lou, that makes sense, isn't that? I mean, that sounds like television executives, right? You've been around them before. That doesn't sound like TV executives.
Yes, the point is, though, it's going to get leaked. And your guys won't have it. Your competitor will.
But that's okay. But we still have the rights.
Ruins,
we still have the rights to the NFL.
But it still ruins your broadcast, is your point.
I agree.
What you're trying to, it's like Kraft with the video. You can try to avoid it all you want, but it's going to come out. So it's either your guys are going to have it or somebody else is going
to
have it.
I tell you what, you want a good time for it to come out? About 8:05 tonight.
See, I actually heard that. I heard that Brock Heward was actually going to be the number one.
Oh, jeez. We'll get to that.
Is that not right?
Yeah, we'll get to that later. It's just unbelievable. But I think there might be something to this. They've been instructed to, hey, can we? It might not have said to them, definitely. They probably said to them, hey, listen, make sure you really have every source because I don't want to get the Goodell on my bad side. I don't want him calling me up. I think the NFL loves the fact that they're doing something I've never seen before, that we have no idea who the number one pick in the draft is going to be.
See, this is where Vegas gets a little shady, right? Because Kyler Murray's the favorite to go number one at minus 400.
Yeah.
Bosa's second at plus 350. Quinnen Williams plus 400. Then it jumps. Josh Allen plus 3,500.
I have it much lower.
These are the things that always blow my mind. You know, like the Super Bowl props, the Gatorade, what dress is this woman going to wear, or is she going to wear a hat? Like, don't you think somebody knows? People will know.
Well, I don't know why Vegas would ever put up the odds of what some dress they're going to wear or what song they're going to perform or whatever, because clearly you can rig that.
That's what I'm saying.
You can rig that.
Think somebody knows? Does anybody have a connection in Arizona?
I think absolutely.
Anyone in the world? Like we talked about that, the Uber driver earlier.
Yeah.
Said he had
a fan, right? Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you don't think somebody's like, hey, you know, whatever. I'm just letting you know.
You're
laying what you want with it.
All right, absolutely. I think Arizona knows what they're
100
doing.
100 grand. You guys take Kyler Murray at number one.
So how is it agents haven't leaked any of this information? That's what they always try to do.
Kyler Murray's agent, Cliff Kingsbury's agent?
I think you are correct.
Check that out.
Maybe.
You?
Okay.
Yeah. Look that up, will you?
All right, look that up.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Moss. So. Look it up, Moss.
Shady ones.
So how does this not get out?
Moss, see if you can find it for me.
It's got to get out, right?
It will get out.
It's got to get out. I just don't understand it. The NFL can do whatever they want to try to keep it quiet, try to get a big, huge audience here tonight. I just don't know how you keep this away for long periods of time. So who was it you said that said it wasn't that way? Was it, who did you say it was? It was, which ESPN reporter?
Oh, Chris Morton.
Oh, well, Mort said it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mort, of course.
So that's not the case. Well, we'll see. We'll find out. Right? I mean, if you don't hear anything from Schefter or Rapoport, then they got muzzled. Period. End of story.
I just don't know how somebody can't come up with this. That makes absolutely no sense. We've never seen this. Can you guys ever remember this before?
No, normally, isn't it Jeff Howe? Jeff Howe is usually the one that's also
Jeff Howe,
a lot of those picks as well.
Well, what they've done in the past is they have not leaked it out from behind the curtain. And yet, Jeff Howe was getting them one right after another last year. Was it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was getting one right after another. So where is he getting it from?
Hmm.
So obviously they know. And that tells me that the guys that are on the set of the NFL Network and ESPN and now ABC's doing it, those people are not giving it out. I told you, I've worked for NBA drafts for ESPN Radio. We knew 5 minutes in advance who the draft pick was going to be. They told us so that we could slant the broadcast.
This has to be a mandate from the NFL, right? Because if you're Adam Schefter, this boosts your profile and the profile for the company. So it has to be a mandate from the league office, no?
I'm sure it is, or a request.
The league's telling them not to do this.
Wait a minute. It's a request, right? But are we going to go to 8 o'clock tonight and nobody's going to have this?
No chance.
So we're going to wait until the commissioner actually gets up there at 8 o'clock, welcomes everybody.
And no
by the
chance.
By the way, they were planning on doing all of this outdoors. Have you seen the rain forecast today?
A lot of rain, huh?
Thunderstorms. It's always good to gather a large crowd with
was
a thunderstorm.
Cool. Last year in Philly. Was it in Philly?
Philly, yes.
When they show from the shot from the back, and it's indoors but outdoors. They want to do the same thing in Nashville.
This looks cool. The setup they've got down there. Nashville's a great city, by the way. Really is. It's a fun city. And the way they have it set up, it looks really neat, but I'm not sure they're going to be able to pull it off with the weather. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me that we're going to sit there at 8 o'clock tonight and nobody is going to leak this thing in advance?
No. So they didn't leak the schedule. I mean, that was nice and fresh and ready to go. I was excited.
It's actually a very good point. Schedule show got leaked like mid-morning.
It was out by 12:30.
So, Lou, you tell me. I think these reporters are full of it. I think they know, and I think that some of them are being told by their employer, don't do it. Don't go there. You're going to put us in jeopardy. How do they not know? How does Mortensen not know? How do these guys not know?
Well, Glenn, we'll have our answer soon enough.
They have the greatest context.
I don't know how many times I can tell you. If Schefter and Rapoport don't have it, then they're being told to shut up.
They've been told to shut
up. And Jake Glazer's good. I mean, he gets a lot of information. Yeah. Then he'll be the one that breaks it. Or some other company, and they'll look bad.
Okay, we mentioned Daniel Graham because he was a guy who Bill Belichick actually moved up in the draft. He gave up the third round, the seventh round, and the number 32 pick to move up to 21 because he needed a tight end. The Patriots are in the exact same predicament they were in the year that Dan Graham came out in the draft. He knows the tight ends inside and out because he's the guy who votes for the John Mackey Award on that board, and he will join us to break down the tight ends next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.